Today I resigned from the staff of the International Monetary Fund after over 12 years and after 1,000 days of official fund work in Latin America and the Caribbean and Africa. To me, resignation is a priceless liberation, for with it I have taken the first big step to that place where I may hope to wash my hands of what in my mind's eye is the blood of millions of poor and starving peoples. The blood is so much, you know, it runs in rivers. It dries up, too. It cakes all over me. Sometimes I feel that there is not enough soap in the whole world to cleanse me from the things I did in your name and in the names of your predecessors and under your official seal. Hello. My name is Davison Boudou, and I was a senior fund manager with the International Monetary Fund. You'll have to forgive me if I'm not used to public speaking. We're not exactly noted for our charisma, us economists. Well, it's the most common phobia in the world, you know, fear of public speaking. Fear of death is the second most common. And, well, I'm already dead. Yes, that's right. I'm dead. They say that youth is wasted on the young, and in many ways, life is wasted on the living. Death brings with it a certain clarity. My story begins in 1976, the beginning of my tenure at the IMF.
Davison Boudou, first day at the fund. You settling in okay? You ready to save the world?
Yes. Getting my bearings, so to speak. Thank you. And you are?
Mackenzie Fisher, retired senior fund manager. The guy whose name just got scraped off the door. I just called in. Left a little box of stuff behind. Came to pick it up. Kind of curious to meet the new me as well, to be honest. Got you a little office-warming present. Drink?
It's a little early in the day for me. Whiskey at 11 a.m. is not exactly the first impression I was hoping to make.
Indulge me. It's my leaving party. Come on, have a drink. This stuff is $3,000 a bottle, you know. So, senior fund manager, eh? Looking forward to getting stuck in?
Yes, very much so.
Where are you from, Mr. Boudou?
I'm from Grenada.
Grenada? You know, I don't think I've ever actually been to Grenada. Worth visiting?
It was when I was growing up. It's all changed now, of course.
Ah, yes. You've thrown off the British shackles. How's independence working out?
Time will tell, I suppose.
Where'd you graduate? You were a Chicago boy?
No, London School of Economics. I was at the World Bank before this.
The World Bank, eh? How long were you there for?
About 10 years.
10 years? Well, good for you. First you loan them the money, and now you're going to show them how to pay it back.
Oh, that's a little cynical.
Tell me, what do you think we do here? Oh, listen to me, we. What do you think you do here at the fund?
The fund was created to restructure and organize the markets and economies of member nations, make them more efficient, promote...
Relax, Boudou. This isn't an interview. You've already got the job.
Well, look, I'm not sure. I don't really understand where you're coming from.
We've all read the prospectus. What exactly is it you do?
I'm an economist, the same as you.
And what does an economist do?
We work with figures.
Work with figures? You're an economist, man, not an accountant. Work with figures. It's like saying a surgeon works with a knife. Yes, a surgeon uses a knife, but that's not what he does. What does a surgeon do?
He operates on people?
A surgeon operates on people. Saves lives. The surgeon is responsible for whether they live or die, for how they live or die. Now, instead of a scalpel, an economist uses figures, and with those figures you can decide the fate not only of people, of country.
Don't be ridiculous. We provide stabilizing loans and economic advice. We help prevent crises, but countries have governments, and the ultimate decision...
Governments. Let me tell you something, Mr. Badu. You'll be meeting a lot of politicians in this job. Foreign ministers, finance ministers, heads of state. You earn more than they do. You'll approve their budgets. You'll call the tune. He who holds the purse strings runs the country, and that, Davison Badu, will be you. Banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. You know who said that?
Well, it's commonly attributed to Thomas Jefferson, but
Say... Jefferson, way back in 1816. Funny, isn't it, how a dead man would have such an excellent handle on current events. A smart man, Jefferson. If he wasn't already dead, he'd probably have to meet with an accident.
Mr. Fisher, what are you talking about?
Well, I've taken up enough of your time. I'd better get my things and go before security start to wonder what's keeping me. Nice meeting you, Mr. Badu. My card is in the drawer with the whiskey, if you ever want any advice. Of course, my first piece of advice would be... don't listen to a burnt-out old cynic like Mackenzie Fisher.
Indeed. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Are you a religious man, Mr. Badu?
Religious? Well...
you know, the older I get, the more religious I become. As time goes by, the odds grow more and more in God's favor, right? You've read the Bible.
Well, not
in the Bible,
recently,
with everything he sees and everything that's done to him, who are the only people that Jesus ever loses his temper with?
I assume you're referring to the moneylenders in the temple. Look, I don't see the similarity. The IMF is here to help people, not make a quick buck.
Good day, Mr. Badu.
Hello? The director? Yes, of course. Send him on through. Thank you.
Mr. Badu.
Please, Davison.
Davison, welcome aboard. Please, don't stand on my account. We're very pleased to have you here at the Fund. Heard a lot of good things about you. I've been following your progress at the World Bank. I'm told you're singularly gifted.
Thank you. That's very kind.
You're obviously familiar with the nature of our work here. It's not unlike your previous work at the bank.
Yes, sir. Indeed, it was put to me that the bank loans the money and the fund shows how to pay it back. You could say we're like surgeons, economic surgeons, using figures instead of scalpels.
The fund was created to restructure and organise the markets and economies of member nations. You are familiar with our mission statement?
Yes, sir. It was just... an analogy I'd heard.
Yes. Well, you met Miss Hicks?
My secretary, yes. She seems perfectly capable.
Marie is a stalwart of the organisation, Davison. Knows it inside out. Any questions, anything you need to access, ask Marie. She's also very discreet.
Sir?
Discretion. The number one quality we ask of our staff. And Marie has it in spades. Anything you need arranged, and not just in the office. Accommodation, travel, entertainment. That's what she's there for.
Thank you, sir. That's good to know.
Working here is a special honour, Davison. It takes a remarkable mind to earn a place here. The work we do affects millions. We're shaping the future of nations. Without us, there would be chaos. It's a great responsibility.
I regard it as a privilege, sir, I assure you.
Well, I've taken enough of your time. Get yourself settled, feet under the desk, as it were. When you're organised, I've left some files with Miss Hicks to get you started. Nothing too onerous. Ease you in gently. I'll arrange lunch towards the end of the week. Get your initial thoughts.
That would be splendid, sir.
Very good. I think you're going to be an asset to us, Davison. Yes. I see a bright future for you here.
And indeed, I did have a bright future. I combined an acute eye for detail with a particular ability to think outside the box. Attributes that proved invaluable in the work that I was engaged in. I won't bore you too much with the day-to-day minutiae of my tenure at the Fund. My dealings were mainly with countries in Africa and the Caribbean. We used to call them colonies, but you wouldn't get away with that nowadays. No, I worked with developing economies. What's in a name, eh?
These are the Trinidad and Tobago reports, and here's your itinerary for the Ecuador trip. The airline and hotel bookings are provisional, waiting your approval. If you can look over them and sign off, I can confirm them tomorrow.
Thank you, Miss Hicks.
There's also a note there on the security arrangements.
Security arrangements? Don't these people realise we're there to help them?
I suppose some of these countries are a little more dangerous, sir.
I suppose.
Is there anything else you need, sir? If not, I'll be leaving for the day.
No, thank you. That'll be all. I remember that particular trip to Quito well. In many ways, it was no different from the countless other field trips I'd made on behalf of the fund. My days were spent in government buildings, my nights in a 5-star hotel, carefully shielded from the people whose lives my work was affecting. One night, after dining in yet another of Quito's finest restaurants, I eschewed the normal chauffeur-driven limo and decided instead to walk the 2 miles or so back to my hotel. The contrast between my life and that of the normal Ecuadorian citizen could not have been more stark. Hello? Yes? Send him in. Mr. Director, good afternoon, sir.
Padoo, back in one piece. I understand you had some excitement on the Quito trip.
Yes, sir. The protests were a little more animated than usual.
I hope it didn't inconvenience you too much.
No, sir. The security detail was very professional.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. How are those Trinidad and Tobago figures coming along?
Yes. Trinidad and Tobago. Not as straightforward as I'd initially thought.
Oh? How so?
I'm having difficulties standing over some of the projections in recent reports.
Well, they're only projections. Carry on as you are, and we'll note the amended data in the next staff report. We'll need to get a briefing paper on the desk of the Minister of Finance before he starts his own pre-budget calculations.
Yes, sir. I'll have it prepared within the fortnight.
We're doing good work, Badu. Both the Ecuador work and this Trinidad report. Your efforts are being noted.
Thank you, sir.
Here are those files you were looking for, Mr. Badu.
What did you make of those demonstrations, Ms. Hicks?
Demonstrations?
In Quito, last week.
I'm afraid they weren't really reported over here, sir.
Oh, really? I was in a limousine from the airport to the hotel. There were crowds there, shouting, waving banners, burning flags. All that anger. Why? Why are they protesting? Why don't they want us there?
That's beyond my pay grade. Is everything okay, sir?
Yes, everything's fine. I'm just going to finish up these few calculations. You have a good evening.
And you, sir.
What were they protesting about? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the fact that unemployment was skyrocketing while schools and housing deteriorated, or that the general health of the population was declining while infant mortality rates increased. All while we were forcing them to cut spending and privatise public assets so they could pay back the debt that we had burdened them with. Oh, don't get me wrong. I still believed in the fundamental principles of the fund, still believed that our actions were for the greater good. However, as time went by, the work I was doing began to sit more and more uneasily with me. He's here now? Well, yes, of course. Send him in.
You're cutting it fine on the Trinidad and Tobago report, Badu.
Yes, sir. About that report. I've been meaning to write to you about that.
Is there a problem?
Not a problem, per se. Well, yes, I suppose it is a problem. Look, these projections here.
What about them?
The 85 and 86 RED reports, for example. The figure for the relative unit labour cost. Well, look, it's so far removed from the actual reality, it's not even in the same ballpark.
It was a projection. We're economists, not Nostradamus.
I appreciate that, but these are way beyond what would be considered an acceptable margin of error.
I see. And how do you suppose this occurred?
I don't know, sir. I can't decipher any clear methodology underlying these calculations.
You participated in all three fund missions to Trinidad between 85 and 87.
Yes, I did, but...
You helped to produce these reports. You signed off on them.
I've only become aware of the inaccuracies recently, sir, since I started working specifically on the national income sector.
Well, as I say, they're projections.
But the RULC is, and we acknowledge it ourselves in the briefing paper, it's the single most important statistic that we collect.
And we'll amend it in the next report.
But we've made recommendations based on this. Currency devaluation, public sector rationalisation.
Which are needed to improve the competitiveness of the economy.
But their economy is fixing itself.
Proof that our measures are working. Look, we made projections. We may have erred in some of those projections. No, I wouldn't say erred. They're projections. By definition, they're not exact. Based on these estimates, we recommended certain actions, which, happily, would seem to have had the desired effect. We'll note the amended data in the next briefing paper and staff report. It's not a major issue. You've worked very hard on this, Davison. When you finish that report, have a think about a holiday, yes?
I know a lot of this is economic gobbledygook. I can practically see your eyes glazing over. Quite frankly, I don't blame you. In a nutshell, the relative unit labour cost is basically how much you pay your workforce compared to how much they get paid in other countries. The lower it is, the better. Well, except for the actual workforce, of course. Countries with a low RULC can produce products cheaply, which makes their exports very competitive. We had told Trinidad and Tobago that their RULC was rising with disastrous consequences for its economy. It wasn't. Let me put it another way for you. We cooked the books. We cooked the books. We told these people that their economy was driving off a cliff. So they handed us their car keys. Ms. Hicks.
Sir?
Do you mind if I ask you something?
Sir?
Do you ever wonder about what we do here?
Sir?
Structural adjustments, economic rationalization, all our beloved technical jargon. But do you ever wonder if we're doing the right thing?
I'm just a PA, sir.
But you've been here, what, 15 years?
16, sir, 17 in April.
17 years. God knows the amount of things that have passed over your desk. You must have some sort of an opinion.
I'm not paid to have an opinion, sir.
No, but you must have one just the same.
Mr. Badu, do you know how many people there are out there that can file, take shorthand and type at 120 words per minute?
I'd imagine there are thousands.
And how many jobs there are out there with a pay and benefits package like this one? So you'll excuse me if I don't ask too many questions or have too many opinions.
And I suppose that's why you'll be here 17 years in April.
Indeed, sir. Is there anything else you need?
No, thank you. Ah, yes, pay and benefits, the honeypot. As of May 18th, 1988, the day I typed my resignation letter, my total salary and benefits package totaled $143,000. Now, that may sound modest by today's standards, but this was 1988. I was being paid more than the annual budgeted salary of almost every head of state in the world. 5 to 10 times more than what virtually every third world president or prime minister was earning. Or, to put it another way, about 1,000 times more than the per capita income enjoyed by 2/3 of mankind. And as for the benefits, a group life insurance plan, a very generous medical plan, and even more generous pension scheme, not to mention the intangibles that came with the job, royalty class and first class travel, diplomatic immunity, generous subsistence allowances for overnight stays in the finest hotels, high class nightclubbing. A very handy little package of gold for a very handy job well done. Yes, send him in. Sir.
Badu, may I?
Please, have a seat.
How is everything with you, Davison?
Everything is fine, sir. Everything is good.
It's just you're looking a bit drawn lately. Some of the staff have described your behaviour as somewhat erratic.
Erratic, sir?
It's not a criticism, Davison, it's a concern. This is highly pressured work.
Is there an issue with the quality of my work, sir?
No, no, not at all. We have a duty of care to our staff.
But have there been specific complaints about my behaviour?
Davison, please don't get defensive. People who care about you are concerned that you haven't been yourself lately. You've been working very hard. Maybe a vacation would be in order. Recharge your batteries. Spend some time back home in Grenada. Now things have settled down since...
Since the US invasion?
I was going to say liberation. It's a democracy now, yes?
Well, perhaps, sir, once I finish the report.
Very well. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, Davison. They're only figures at the end of the day.
Yes?
I'm finishing up for the day, sir. Is there anything else before I leave?
No, thank you. Oh, Miss Hicks, actually, could you come in here for a moment, please?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember Mackenzie Fisher?
Of course, sir.
What did you make of him?
I'm just...
Oh, look, I know you're not paid to have an opinion, but this isn't a state secret we're talking about here.
I try not to differentiate between one superior and another, sir.
Look, I'm not asking you to betray anybody's confidence. But what sort of man was he? Did you like him?
He was my boss. Another man in a suit who handed me files and had me make appointments for him.
You worked with the man for years. Was he funny? Loud? Was he generous? Did he have a temper? You must have had some sort of relationship with him on a personal level.
I had a relationship with him on a working level, sir, the same as I have with you.
You don't think that we have any kind of personal relationship? I mean, we've known each other for some time now. Surely we know each other as people, as well as fund manager and secretary.
What's my favourite colour, Mr. Badu? My favourite television programme? How many cats do I own? What are their names?
Point taken. Why did Fisher leave the fund?
I really couldn't say, sir. Sometimes it's just time to move on.
How was he in the months before he left? Was there any difference in his behaviour?
He always kept odd hours, but they became more irregular. Sometimes he wouldn't come in till the afternoon. Other times I'd arrive at my desk in the morning and he'd be still here from the night before. He took to keeping a bottle of whiskey in the drawer of his desk.
And his relationship with the other fund managers?
You know, I really don't like to get into staff politics and personalities. I'm happier with my files. It's less trouble that way. Is there anything else you need, sir?
No. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir. And you.
Hello? Mackenzie Fisher? Yes, it's Davison Badu. Yes, it has been a while. Look, I was wondering.
Another bottle of wine, please. Oh, and I'll have a brandy. Anything for you, Badu?
No, thanks, Mackenzie. I'm fine.
You may as well. It's all going on your expense account anyway. Bring a sack of brandy for my friend here. You're not eating, Badu. Something the matter with your food?
No, the food is fine. It's not the food.
Something on your mind? You obviously invited me here for a reason. I assume it's work-related, as we don't know each other socially.
I've been working on this report, and, well, I'm having difficulty standing over my projections.
That's the beauty of projections. They don't have to be accurate.
Fair enough. Then why place so much stock in them?
Projections... Your projections are your arm twister, that expert data that convinces lesser mortals to do as they're told.
Okay, let's go with that. Let's assume that's their real purpose. So what happens when they're wrong?
It doesn't matter. As long as they get people to do what you want. You know the problem with economic projections? You're working with incomplete data. There's anything between 18 and 30% of unrecorded black economy activity that you're not factoring into the equation.
Oh, surely that's an exaggeration.
Think so? All the under-the-table stuff, from an electrician taking payment in cash to high-level organized crime and everything in between. No receipts, no data. If you're missing a huge chunk of your figures, you can't make a forecast. You can only make a guess. And here you sit with only half the question. Well, surely it must occur to you that you're not expected to find the answer.
So what's the actual point of the exercise?
The point is that we, or should I say you, are recommending a course of action that you believe to be for the best. One which, in certain quarters, would be perceived as unpalatable. Make a guess, type it up into a 70-page report with enough figures and graphs to make your head spin, and all of a sudden it's an expert forecast. And we dictate policy with it, which, in the fund's case, usually involves privatizing a shitload of assets. It's genius. Have you been back to Grenada lately?
Lately? No, not since...
Not since Uncle Sam swooped in and bestowed the great gift of democracy, eh?
Yes, democracy and unemployment.
Well, there's bound to be some uncertainty with all the upheaval.
Some? Try 50%.
What was it before?
6.
Whoa, the price of freedom, eh?
Tell me, Mr. Fisher, why did you resign from the fund?
Ever been on a cruise, Badu?
No.
Don't. They're depressing. Lots of old people floating around waiting to die. I used to enjoy them, to a degree. But even 20 years ago, I'd look at my fellow passengers thinking, you're all so old. Then the last time I went, I thought, that's me soon. Never again. It's a curious contradiction. People today have a longer life expectancy, but at the same time, we're statistically more likely to have a close friend die at a younger age. Nothing like the death of a peer to flag up your own mortality. And the fact that you live longer just gives you more time to worry about dying.
Are you going through a midlife crisis, Mackenzie?
You can call it what you like. Burnout, a sense of perspective, enlightenment. But I tell you, you can only do this sort of thing for so long.
This sort of thing?
The fund. The job. Playing God. Then you eventually realize that you're not God. Then you wonder if there is a God. Then you wonder what he'd make of you.
I don't play God. I don't make anybody do anything. I design economic restructuring plans. I don't control anyone.
Of course you don't. Not directly. At the top level, in ministries of finance and central banks around the world, hearts flutter when a fund mission is announced. They all want to be a part of it. The game is to identify officials who are ambitious and influential, who have clout, and let them know that their ability to deliver the goods can win them friends and a seat at the high rollers table. Besides, leaders are replaceable.
Yes, by election.
Only by election. Jaime Roldos Aguilera of Panama died May 24th, 1981. Plane crash. Omar Torrijos of Ecuador died July 31st, 1981. Plane crash. My way or the highway? Literally, in the cases of Aguilera and Torrijos.
You're not suggesting that someone would...
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just stating facts. Two indisputable, very coincidental facts. I'm not drawing any conclusions.
And this is just allowed to happen? No repercussions?
People are busy, Badu. Surviving. We're the leaders, the experts. We're the people who tell them what's best for them. You ever hear the one about the villager who goes to the local wise man and asks him can he borrow his donkey? The wise man lies, saying the donkey isn't there. Just then, the donkey brays. The wise man pauses, then says, well, who are you going to believe? A donkey or a wise man?
And so you resigned?
And so I resigned. Was there something more I could have done? I don't know. I do know this, though. We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
So why not speak up? Try and get people to think differently. People like me, people like you. We're not bad people.
Speak up? And who'd listen? It ostracized me. Mackenzie Fisher, he's burned out, bitter, passed up for promotion. Made me out to be a drunk, a drug fiend, a child molester even. Or worse.
Worse? What could be worse?
I don't know. A communist?
Did you know that every single cell in your body is constantly dying and being replenished? Every single cell. In 10 years' time, not one cell in your body will be the same as it is today. It's never too late to reinvent yourself.
Would you care to explain this?
It's the briefing paper, sir.
I know it's the briefing paper. Why isn't your signature on it?
I'm afraid I can't put my name to it, sir.
May I ask why?
It was meant to contain amended data to correct previous reports.
We've removed the inaccuracies.
Removed? We've pretended they never existed. There's no mention of relative unit labour cost in this report at all.
It wasn't considered relevant.
Not considered relevant? The single most important statistic we collect, not considered relevant. But the recommendations based on our phantom figures, oh, they're all still there. The devaluation, the privatization, the public spending cuts. This is money that should be invested in health, education, housing. Instead, it's going to wealthy bankers.
To repay money that was borrowed from them.
Based on our figures, which were wrong.
The course of action recommended was correct. Their economy will benefit in the medium to long term.
In my opinion, sir, we've decided on that course of action in advance and cherry-picked or just plain invented statistics to justify it.
We make recommendations, Budu. The sovereign nation still has a choice.
Choice? There's no choice. These countries do what they're told. They accept their medicine or go it alone as an international outcast. And we answer to no one.
I think you're overstepping your mark, Badu.
With respect, I think we've all overstepped our mark, sir. We're judge, jury and executioner. We do our own evaluation of their economy. We write our own letter of intent in the name of the Minister for Finance. We administer the programme. We decide whether or not the criteria have been met and whether funding can be drawn down. And all the while, we suck their assets dry.
Their assets?
They belong to them.
By an accident of geography, do you think they know what to do with their assets? Without us, they wouldn't even know their assets were fucking there.
So that entitles us to 90 cents on the dollar?
Oh, so now we're exploiting them, is it? We mine their resources and take 90% of their profits. Fuck that. We give them 10% of ours. They're farmers and fishermen. They should be down on their fucking knees giving us thanks. They can't be trusted with resources like that.
Who are we to decide that?
We're their betters. Their rulers.
No, they have a government for that.
Governments don't rule. Money rules. All these governments owe us money, and they do what they're told by us, for their own good. Look, you're a London School of Economics graduate. You think these people could do the job you do? You think they could be trusted to sit in your chair? We'd close down in a matter of weeks. How can they be trusted with millions upon millions of dollars worth of natural resources that they just happen to be squatting on? If it wasn't for us, they'd probably try and extract it with a bamboo shoot.
So much for all men being created equal.
All men aren't equal. There's a natural order of things. There's a ruling class. People with the aptitude and the intellect. And yes, the bloodline. It's always been that way. Kings and peasants, lords and serfs.
There was a small development called democracy. You may have heard of it.
Democracy! One man, one vote. It's the most deeply flawed system imaginable. I read the Financial Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times. I'm on first name terms with presidents, billionaires, decision makers. And you mean to tell me that my vote should carry the same weight as some hillbilly who can't even point out America on a map? Could you imagine the absolute chaos there would be if just anyone became president?
But anyone can become president.
Oh, of course they can. You just need access to millions of dollars to run a successful campaign. That sort of narrows the field, sorts out the wheat from the chaff, as it were. It's the illusion of opportunity. Men who think they are oppressed will someday fight. Remove the very suspicion that there's something wrong and they'll work. We make the decisions because we're the ones qualified to do so. And we deserve to be rewarded commensurately.
You want us back to the days before the French Revolution?
Only this time, we don't have to worry about the guillotine. Now sign off on that report as it is, please. I want it on my desk tomorrow morning.
Did you know that when your physical body dies, your brain has 7 minutes of activity left? It plays back memories as a dream sequence, a final discharge of consciousness. What if this was your eternity? What if you were left staring into the consequences of your actions forever? If you were good, it'd be heaven. If you were bad, well, nice theory, eh? Is it true? I'm not telling. You'll all find out eventually. As I sat at my desk, I thought of how idealistic and hopeful I was 20 years before when I first joined the staff of the World Bank, and how disillusioned I had become. And I began to type. Today I resigned from the staff of the International Monetary Fund after over 12 years and after 1,000 days of official fund work in Latin America and the Caribbean. Trinidad and Tobago wasn't an isolated incident, more like common practice. Between 1982 and 1990, debtor countries paid more than $1.3 trillion to the IMF. $1.3 trillion. You know, a million is such a large number that the human brain is incapable of visualizing it. A million is so big, if you tried putting 1 million pennies, one on top of the other, the pennies at the bottom would begin to melt from the pressure, from the sheer weight of the pennies on top of them. That's how big a million is. 1.3 trillion was paid to the IMF while people were dying in poverty. In concluding this part of the letter, I want to remind you that Trinidad and Tobago is only one country from a host of third world nations where we are perpetrating the same economic nonsense with the same catastrophic consequences for screaming in pain governments and peoples forced to bend on their knees before us, broken and terrified and disintegrating and begging for a sliver of reasonableness and decency on our part. But we laugh cruelly in their face, and the torture goes on unabated. Where will it all end? Where will it? What are we doing to the world? We need to ponder on these things, sir, because the premise on which they are based, a merciless and uncaring and inhuman world, may prove to be one of the most monumental errors, and there are a lot of these, that the fund has ever made. Yours sincerely, Davison L. Boudou. Ms. Hicks, could you come in here a moment, please? I have a letter here for you to deliver to the director. Take a look at the first page, please.
But, Mr. Boudou, you... What? I don't understand. You're resigning. But what
Ms. Hicks, Marie... This may well be the last time we ever see each other. I just want you to know that it's been a pleasure working with you.
And with you. And Mr. Boudou?
Yes?
My favourite colour? It's blue.
Thank you, Miss Hicks.
What's one man's reputation compared to the lives of millions, I thought. I was resolved. I could take whatever they threw at me. Nothing could hurt me. And that's what nearly destroyed me. Nothing. Not one newspaper article. Not one news bulletin. Not one talk show. Nothing. This was in 1988, you understand. There was no internet, no social media. I wonder, would things be different now? How many likes would my letter have gotten on Facebook? Would Boudou have trended on Twitter? As it was, forget the Berlin Wall. Forget the Great Wall of China. They were nothing compared to the wall of silence that I faced. I stood at the edge of the abyss, and I shouted at the top of my lungs, and my words were swallowed up by the nothingness.
So what next, Davison?
I really don't know. This was supposed to be my grand show of defiance. My Watergate, my Rubicon. This was the act by which my life would be defined and remembered.
What did you think would happen?
Oh, headlines, scandal, investigations, commissions of inquiry. I imagined something I definitely didn't imagine. You know, their director of external relations told Channel 4 in the UK that the fund was determined to take all necessary action to ensure that I never became a quote-unquote international star.
Where did you hear that?
From Channel 4 themselves, one of their reporters. It's like one big conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy, Badu. It's just the way things are. Who owns the media? Who pays for the advertising? They're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Any editor publishing your letter would be committing career suicide.
Just like I committed career suicide by writing it.
At least you took your stand. You stuck your head above the parapet. I just slunked off with my cynicism and my whiskey.
But was it the right decision? I mean, what did it achieve? Would I have been better to stay in the fund, try and make a difference from the inside?
Who knows? It's a complicated world out there, full of complicated decisions and close calls that could go either way. And what keeps you awake at night isn't so much whether you made the right or wrong decision. It's whether you did what you did for the right reasons. I think we're being watched, by the way.
Oh, I've been followed around for the last couple of months, ever since I left the fund. You get used to it.
Excuse me. Waiter. Send a brandy over to our friend, over by the window there. Tell him it's compliments of Davison Badu.
No, Mackenzie, I really wouldn't.
Relax. No harm in letting him know you're not intimidated. Besides, he's sitting in direct sunlight over there. He's got to be working up a thirst. Have you heard from the fund officially at all?
Oh, yes. They wrote to me not long after my resignation.
Oh, here we go. Look at his face. He doesn't know whether to drink the brandy or write a memo. Sorry, you were saying?
Yes, they wrote to me. Hang on. The fund reserves its right to take such action against you as is necessary to protect its interests and those of its member countries. I thought they were threatening legal action, not this petty intimidation.
Legal action? Can't see them wanting to involve themselves in that.
Oh, I would relish the opportunity to stand up in court and prove everything I say. You could send me before the harshest judge.
Which is why it will never happen.
No, it won't, will it?
So, what? You just throw in the towel?
I don't know. I was considering the possibility of setting up an alternative to the fund. An independent consultancy. Do it right. Ethical economic programs. Help the poor. The rich can take care of themselves. It would be accountable, transparent. It would be everything the fund was meant to be. What do you think, Mackenzie? You could help me.
We could use our powers for good. Like modern-day superheroes. Captain Calculator. I'm sorry. I shouldn't kid. It's a noble sentiment, Badu. Too noble for the likes of me, I'm afraid. And you want people fresh out of college, young, idealistic, before the system has a chance to wring the enthusiasm out of them. And sometimes I think that people with a conscience are at a disadvantage. Worrying about consequences paralyzes you. Caring about people acts as a handbrake to ambition. I wish you luck, Badu. I really do. This one's on me. I take it you no longer have your expense account.
After I published my letter, the government of Trinidad and Tobago commissioned two separate independent studies to investigate my claims. They both found that I was correct, that the IMF had inflated and fabricated numbers with incredibly damaging consequences for the country. Money that could have been invested in health, education and housing was instead transferred to wealthy bankers. It didn't matter. Who gives a shit about Trinidad and Tobago, right? We need to change the record. If our children took more than they needed and left others without, we'd scold them. Yet when a captain of industry does the same thing, only on a global scale, we reward him with knighthoods and positions of influence.
And we swallow the biggest fallacy of all, that this greed of the elite few benefits everybody. That those scraping a living at the fringes are somehow better off too. No system that exploits huge sections of the population for the benefit of a privileged minority can thrive in the long term. A foundation built on greed and exploitation is destined to fail. There are precious few certainties in life. From my novel perspective, allow me to share three. Number one, we're all going to die. Number two, you will be remembered by somebody. How you're remembered and for what, that's up to you. And number three, trust me on this, you really can't take it with you.